You're listening to the Groundswell Sermon Podcast, a brand new church in the Halton region, Ontario, Canada.
Lord, we thank you once again for this kind fellow beside me. And we're so thankful for him. He brings so much joy to our congregation, and we're just honored to be his friend, really. I have had great conversations with him over the years, and just love his enthusiasm and how he inspires me. And I just pray that you will take the words that you've given to him, the knowledge you've given to it, and you convey it very clearly through him this morning as he teaches us and helps to guide us to a focus, a greater focus on you. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for all of us being here together, and help us to grow as we listen. In your name, amen.
Amen. Well, thank you. It's a new season, isn't it? I love this season. Wow, I'm outside and I see the flowers everywhere. Our area, for some reason, we're just like just on the top of the escarpment, and but it's colder there. So you mean in Hamilton, there's flowers, but the flowers are just starting now this week, and it's been so amazing to see the green coming up. We were driving. What's that?
It's on
mute. No, it's not. Why would it do that? Weird. It's not. Mic check? Ah, there it is. It wasn't on the mute, though. I just said mute on the thing, though. That's weird. So we were in an area where, like, when it starts to come to life, it comes to life. The frogs are all of a sudden making noise. So it's like, Megan was saying, we left the window open just to hear them, because it's just like, it's a powerful sound to that, right? And everywhere you go, you can see new life coming. I mean, I'm almost done marking. The exams are almost done, so we'll come out of the grave of the marking season soon, and it'll be like a fresh new world of summer and spring and life. And I think about this time, I love it coming after the resurrection, after we celebrate Easter, because this new life springing together, it makes me feel alive, and it reminds me of who we are. As Christians, that we are new creation. We are new lives. I was thinking about that a lot, so I was thinking about the next sermon series. A couple of things have been coming to my mind, a couple words, and they're both really important words to me. One of them is the word reality. What is real? What are we living in right now? What's really happening? How do we deal with this real world? And the other one is the word identity, which is a really real word right now in our culture, isn't it? What is our identity? What is identity? Who are we for real? What is our identity in reality? Now, if you ask around, and you look on the culture, if you go online, you'll have a few different opinions that come up there. One of the opinions is that we're animals. That's who you are. You're just an animal. I mean, even philosophically, that would be the definition Aristotle would give us. We're rational animals. Now, for him, rationality means a lot, but we're ultimately these animals, these beasts, these brutes in some ways, right? And that's why you don't expect too much of us. Go on social media, you'll see people acting like animals. My Twitter feed all of a sudden was starting to have all these like school fights and stuff on it. I'm like, why is this happening on my Twitter feed? I'm not following any of this stuff, but just people acting like animals. And we hear this, we're just wildlife, so that's why, you know, we should just give in to our urges. Eat as you want. Have as many partners as you want. We're animals. Right? That's who we are. Embrace our identity. Others go even further. They'll be like, no, you know what we are? We're not animals. We're the bad animals. We're criminals. Humans are the bad animals on the earth, right? We're the ones that are going to destroy. We're a cancer on the earth. We're hurting the earth, and the earth is all valuable. Humans are minimal criminals, right? Harming the planet, polluters, killers. I mean, this is what I would call, if the other one was natural selection, the idea of just live your animal instinct, this is called what I would call like pessimism. Like, we're the bad animals that deserve to be wiped out. Someone today was just telling me, like, we need less people on the earth. And I was like, wow, okay. Which ones do you want to get rid of again? And then besides being animals or criminals, other people tell us that we're minimals. And this is kind of the voice that I hear a lot. You're nothing. You're just space dust. You're just particles that bounced around accidentally and came together and formed a talking robot for a bit, and then it'll go into the ground and it will never mean anything ever again. Right? You're a species bound to be replaced. That's what transhumanism is about. It's like getting beyond humans. We're not good enough. We're nothing. Or this could be nihilism, right? Where you are absolutely nothing. You're just going to disappear into the nothingness of the universe. Your life means nothing. Wow. What kind of identity is that? Think about these identities, right? You're animals, criminals, or minerals. We're just minerals. And this is the difference that the Christian story tells us, that your identity is in Christ and you matter. That you are a special creation of a living God who made all things and has uniquely designed you for his purposes. Wow. Isn't that a little bit different? And you start to think about the things that we're told about. We're told that we're valuable enough to die for. That God himself would die for us. We're told that we're given the names sons and daughters of the Most High. That we are forgiven. That we are new creatures, new creations. That we are people who are co-heirs with Christ. We are royal priesthood. We are chosen people. This is the identity that we are told in the scriptures. And so I want to dig in that a bit, because right now what we're told is, in some sense, like, you define your own identity. Right? That's what we're told. Like, the worst thing that could ever happen is something else defines your identity. I get to pick what I am. Right? It doesn't matter what I'm born with, I'll just make myself whatever I want to be. This is the reality that we're hearing. The worst crime you can do is have something outside of yourself identify yourself. And meanwhile, you didn't make yourself, did you? What actually defines you is what you were given, the world that you're born into. And I need to say that. I think it's really important that we recognize our identity is something given to us, not just something we make up for ourselves. Because when we make it up for ourselves, it starts to destroy ourselves. I've never seen someone try to define themselves and end up being really happy and flourishing. I've seen many people who allow God to define them and end up flourishing. Don't say they don't have any problems and sadness is ever. What I'm saying is that when you get the right sense of who you are and why you are, then things come alive. Christ's death and resurrection gives us a new identity. That's what Easter is all about. I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 5:14-19. We're going to have a lot of scripture today, but I'll try to go through it quick. But I just want you to see this is not a small theme in scripture, okay? This idea of being a new creation. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all. Good Friday. And therefore all died. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Happy Easter. Don't live for yourself. Live for him who died and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. I love that. No one. Even the person who's identifying themselves from a worldly point of view. We don't identify them from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, forgiven. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. There's so much in this passage. I want to focus on a few things. He died for all of us, so we're dead to our old selves. That identity of being animal, criminal, mineral, we are spiritual children of God. We are new creations. And I really literally believe that he put a new spirit within us. If you accept Jesus Christ, you receive the new spirit. It says we are raised again, that we are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And that what comes out of this newness is reconciliation with God. All of a sudden, humanity and divinity are not at enmity. You're reconciled. Now the problem is, and Paul's pointing this out, he keeps saying this, that a lot of times what happens is religion tries to identify us by making us live up to certain rules and things. And he recognized that because he himself was a Pharisee. And so he's recognizing that one of the traps that comes in accepting the new creation that you are, the trap that can happen is you start to try to live by a set of rules and identify yourself as how good you are to the rules. This is Galatians 8, 6, 12 and 16. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to being circumcised. Become part of the Jewish society, right? The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law, yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. May I never boast except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. I love how he gives us a new name at the end of there, because the whole book of Galatians is all about a number of people coming to the Christians who are Gentiles and saying, hey, if you really want to go to heaven, you need to become Jewish. Really what they're saying. Gotta become Jewish. And Paul's trying to fight against this. And that's the very end. He calls them, you are the Israel of God. Isn't that amazing? He calls all the Gentiles, you're the Israel of God. You don't have to get circumcised. You don't have to follow the rules. They're not. That's part of the people that God had called in the Old Testament in the way that he's called those who are from that group. But you're not required to enter into that group because there's a new creation on the world now. And that is a people who are infused with the Spirit of God, Jew and Gentile. All the same. I love this first fret. His first line, because it kind of rhymes a little bit, right? He's saying that they're trying to impress in the flesh. Trying to impress in the flesh. Ooh, look at me. I'm all circumcised. Me, I'm very... And also he says, well, what they're trying to do is avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. I thought it was really interesting. There's kind of two options here. That these people were trying to not be persecuted because they were saying to the Gentile Christians, become Jewish so our Jewish friends don't persecute us anymore. Right? If you become Gentile, then we don't have any worries because we can eat with you and it'll be all okay. If you don't, then there's issues here. It's either that or it could be the opposite of, hey, let's look Jewish so then the Roman Empire won't get us in trouble because you're allowed to be Jewish and not worship Caesar, but if you're not Jewish, then you're in trouble for not worshiping Caesar. So either way, the point is that in the flesh, you're just trying to avoid the persecution with this thing. He's saying, step into it. It's okay that the world doesn't like you. Woo! They're not going to like you. You're not going to impress them, right? It's not going to happen. So be a new creation. That's how Paul used to be. He used to live off of this whole way of being the most Jewish of Jews, right? That's what he's feeling. All these rules and all this way of trying to identify. He's like, this isn't the way that we step into this. It was all about operating under fear. They were afraid of what the humans were going to do. And we can't operate out of fear of persecution. We just got to speak the truth as we know it. In love. Right? And that's the balancing act. Because you go so far down the rule side, I mean, like, then there's no more love anymore. But you can go down this other side that you're just living with these rules and restrictions and you end up being really hard and cruel. I think one of the dangers we always have as Christians reading the New Testament is always thinking about the Pharisees as the others and not what the potential we could be. We are in danger of being the Pharisees. All that matters is that you are a new creation, says Paul. That's the only thing that matters. And being a new creation, it doesn't mean you don't have anything to worry about at all, okay? That's not, we have to be careful of that. Like, you're a new creation, I don't have to worry about it. No, that's not what it's saying at all. It's far from it. Being a new creation means that we don't think like those who do not know Christ. We have a different way of thinking and being, okay? So Ephesians 4 says this. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord. So he's not saying get rid of all, any type of boundaries on your behavior. It's the exact opposite. In Ephesians, he makes it very clear that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. So the Jews have some issues. The Gentiles have these issues, right? Having lost all sensitivity. This is the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit of God who convicts us of what is right and wrong. They have given themselves over to sensuality to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they're full of greed. Does that describe our culture or what? Giving themselves over to every impurity and full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in Him according with the truth which is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitudes of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Do you see this beautiful call? We don't live by rules. We don't live by trying to earn our way, like joining the right group. But we also don't just live like animals. We live like we are images of God, created to be like God in righteousness and holiness. Now, notice it's not in all things. You're not made to be omnipotent, omnipresent. Sorry, all the people tell you, like, you are God. And no, you're not. Someone made you. But you're created to be like God in righteousness and holiness. Notice the problems here. They have futility of thinking. The world that does not know Christ, their mindset is futile. That's why there's this, like, oh, futile, like, nothingness. That whole nothingness mindset. We're just animals. We're just space dust. We're just going to go into the grave and never exist again. That's futile. Like, oh, man, nihilism. Just do whatever you can right now because tomorrow we die. It says they're darkened in their understanding. They don't understand reality. They're not accepting reality. They're separated from God. They turn their backs on God. They're in ignorance, is another word. Ignorance to me is willful ignorance. I think a lot of times people are actually willfully ignoring the Lord. I think they know and He's there. He was always presenting Himself, but ignoring, right? Just, I don't want to hear that because I want to do what I want. Hardening of the heart. I mean, our culture, I see it getting harder and harder. I'm just seeing, like, the type of stuff that's being done. Like attacks that are happening. Like, look at Toronto, some of you are like, what is happening? Things that are happening are unthinkable. Because most of us, like, I haven't seen it. At this level, the hearts are being hardened. It's happening right now before us. They've lost all sensitivity. That's the reality that we're facing in the world. So what do we do about it? Well, it says very clear, be made new in attitude of your minds. There's something about thinking like Christ, having your mind be in Christ, thinking in the new creation, in the new identity. We need to keep renewing our thought life, being transformed by the renewing of our minds, Paul says in Philippians. This is the reality of how we go about this. And so we put off the old self, they said at the beginning, but we put on the new self. It's like my wife, she gets me presents all the time, and I'm not, my love language isn't gifts, so let's throw that out there. And so sometimes I get gifts, and I just forget about them for a long time. And I'll have, like, new shirts and stuff I don't even put on, and I put it on. She's like, why are you wearing that stupid shirt? I'm throwing it out, right? Because I'm throwing out that old shirt, and you have new ones. I'm like, oh yeah, why am I putting on the old, ugly stuff? I got this new wardrobe that she's graciously given me. I think that's how a lot of times we operate our lives, isn't it? We have this new life that God's given us and put inside us, and we're just living in the old life. Looking like a slob. I see a lot of the women going, yeah, that's right. Didn't realize this is a common sense in here. We We put on this new self where we are created to be like God. And then it continues, I want to read Colossians 3. It says this, since then you have been raised with Christ. Since Easter, set your hearts on things above. What do you care about? What do you love? What are you thinking about? What is your heart set on? Things above? Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Are you having your mind, your heart set with God? What do you love? What do you care about? What do you desire? Right? That's your heart. And then, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. What are you thinking about? Heart and mind go together often in the Old Testament and the New Testament. They're not completely opposite like we like to do in the West. They're kind of interwoven, but because what you love, you think about what you think about you love, right? But both of these aspects of who we are, our minds and our hearts, need to be on the new, on Christ. Now, this isn't saying that earth is bad. What it's talking about is the way of life that just is common to the animal nature. Forgets about the spiritual reality that who we are. We are new creatures. Our spirits have been sparked to life. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. You died to that old way. It's gone. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. I love this phraseology of being raised with Christ. Like there's Easter doesn't just kind of give us salvation. It gives us a new life.
Right.
A new way of being. So set yourself, your heart, your mind on things above because you died and you're with him. Well, how do you do this? And how do I put my heart and mind on things above? I want to read from Colossians 3, 5 because it's a little bit later in the letter. He says some interesting things. He says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. You got to keep killing that old self. He's like an evil zombie that keeps coming back and chasing after you. Return of the living dead self. You know it, right? You've seen it. Like the old self just keeps trying to come back. Paul's really clear about that. He knows. He says it's dead, but he also recognizes you have to keep putting it to death. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You can't get rid of the wrath of God, by the way. You can't just remove it. Right? It's what it is a very interesting conversation. I mean, Nick has been having a lot of conversations about it. But it's definitely, human society cannot continue to live in these type of ways without it going really wrong. You used to walk in these ways and the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourself of all these things, right? This is anger, rage, malice. Well, these ones are harder. It's like my heart condition, right? I don't know about you, anger? That's a, man. Rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other since you've taken off your old self with its practices and now you put on the new self. This is a different book. Colossians, he's still saying the same stuff he said in Ephesians, he said in Galatians, he said in Corinthians. You got an old self, you got a new self. Keep putting on the new, taking off the old. Because I know you like those old, raggedy jeans. Which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Isn't that amazing? The new self that's within you is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of the creator. Now I believe that we are all images of God. Every person, whether they follow Christ or not. But I will say this, if you follow Christ, you're the one who's being renewed in that image. You're bringing the image back. Because that image has been scarred, it's been marred. Right? It's been blocked, it's been sullied. It's a new image. You are rising like Adam and Eve were before they were deceived. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. See, that's the new creation again. We're all part of the new creation. Whatever our background, ethnicity, whatever our social status, whatever. So what do we have to do, guys? We've got to kill the old self, the part that wants to be selfish, the part that wants to indulge in flesh, that overeats, that obsesses over sex, that thirsts in greed, you know, that wants the newest car, then all the riches, all that part of us. the old self with his practice, put on the new self. So if I'm going to apply this, and I've probably done it a few times, but I want to kind of make a couple things clear. The first thing is, I'm going to say really quickly, we're going to be doing this all this sermon series, is embrace your true identity in Christ, okay? We need to learn to embrace this true identity. When identity politics is everything we see all over the TV screens, we need to start to talk about identity reality of who we really are in Christ and guard ourselves on that. Who are you really? That's the whole series. We're starting to say, you are a new creation. But we're going to talk about next week. You are forgiven. You are a saint. Saint Peggy. Okay? Saint Ralph. You are a chosen people. We're going to have Jim actually speak about that passage a little bit. We're going to have a... Yeah. See, this, and I'm going to talk about him in a second, because I think this is an important moment. Children of God, co-heirs with Christ, empowered with the Holy Spirit. These are all things we're going to talk about. So this is not a one-off thing. You can't just say, okay, I'm a new creation. We got to learn to live in this, okay? That's why we're taking some time with it, to live in the reality of who you are, because the reality of who you are changes everything. If you identify yourself and you're thinking like, oh, I don't know who I am, and you're all messed up in your identity, it starts to really trickle through your life, right? And you start deciding, like, God, I'm going to be this, I'm going to do that. And you fight against the things that God has made for you. It's not something you're able to do on a one-off. The enemy's always conniving. He's always trying to make you forget your new selves. He's always trying to bring back the zombie of the old self. The old self is always trying to scheme. Brains, right? He wants to attack your mind. He's trying to take over. So, we embrace our new identity in Christ. And let's talk about putting off the old self. The old futile way of thinking. And this is why I want to talk about King Ralph. Because that picture there, John Goodman, everyone used to always think my dad was John Goodman. He literally, he was at a conference something, someone came up to him, are you John Goodman? He's like, no, but he looked like him. So, I don't know if you remember this movie, King Ralph. It wasn't a huge hit or anything. It was kind of, but basically, King Ralph was a guy who just grew up in America, just an ordinary dude, kind of a bit of a loser. Was put down, berated, someone who acted really uncouth, very unrefined, kind of just like, you know, not someone that was distinguished. That was King Ralph. Well, it turns out the entire British royal family gets electrocuted. And so they're now looking for the heir to the throne of England. Turns out King Ralph is the closest relative. So now they're bringing him to England. And he's supposed to be King Ralph. Well, you're King Ralph. And he's, guess how hard it is for King Ralph to be his new self and not his old self. That's the whole comedy. It's like the old Ralph keeps coming back when King Ralph is supposed to act in certain ways. Right? Now eventually it's cool. The old Ralph gets turned into a new Ralph. But that's the reality here, is that we are royalty, but we're still living like the old one. We need to let go of our old ways. And so there's a lot of things I want to say. How is that old life look? What does it look like? And I want to just point out, I've been reading this book, I told you before, Psycho Cybernetics, and that's just some things I really liked about the negative side to our old selves. And they use the acronym failure, and I'll just go through it quickly, but I think all these things identify parts of who the old self is. The old self has frustration. Like it's all like a hopelessness, isn't it? Like when you try to live with that old self and you're just kind of chasing after the ways of the world, there's always a feeling that you're not going to ever be able to meet your goal. You're always frustrated, you always want the next thing. There's always this like feeling of frustration. It leads you to feel incapable. You're not going to, I'm not going to lead with anything. So you get frustrated. So this frustration, you know, sometimes it can be a useful thing to be frustrated because it moves you to good things, but when it's misdirected, frustration can become this really negative thing where you're just living in life, you're just, frustrated with everything. And that can lead to the second one, which is aggressiveness and a negative aggressiveness. There's positive aggressiveness where you're going for your goals and you're trying to do things, live for Christ aggressively, okay? But a negative aggressiveness where you start to have this frustration and now you start to be aggressive towards other people, negative towards them, or even more so, negative towards yourself. A lot of us have a lot of aggressive behavior towards ourselves. Bad language, hurtful talk. That's the enemy, right? Condemnation. That's part of the old self. That's what the old self leads to, is this negativity and aggressiveness towards yourself. There's also insecurity, where if you don't know who you are, you always feel like you're not enough. Right? If you're not full of who you are in Christ, then you're insecure, you're not good enough, you're always thinking about the bad parts of you, you see the negative side to you. You're comparing yourself to other people, right? Other ideals. And as you compare yourself, you're very insecure because now you're just living in fear. The imposter syndrome is part of this, isn't it? Where you go, I don't know. There's also loneliness that comes with the old way of life, the old self, because you end up having this sense of feeling cut off and alienated. Even though you might have friends that love you, family that loves you, like, it's amazing to see how lonely people can be even though they have a lot of people who love them. Because the old self and its lies just tells them that no one cares about them. Part of the old self is uncertainty, which means that you don't know about this, you're always living in an uncertain way. I used to be that type of person where I couldn't even choose a meal like at breakfast because I wanted to get the best deal and the best food. I'm like, what are you getting? Uncertain, like couldn't make decisions, right? That's part of this whole aspect of living in the old life is you're uncertain of who you are. You also get filled with resentment. You know those people are just resentful of everything? Someone gets a new car, you're like, so-and-so got that. You literally start to have evil thoughts towards other people simply because you're jealous, right? So resentment there. Or it might be actually resentment because something happened to you in your past, and now you blame everything on all of that, and you're going to be stuck in that resentment for the rest of your life, right? Unless you get out of it and forgive, which is part of what we'll talk about next week. Or lastly, emptiness, which is what we talked about when we talked about nihilism. Which is, you're empty. How many people do you know in our society? You see it all the time. Like, why are so many people embracing suicide? Why is suicide now like become a right in our culture? Because I'm empty. Life's not worth living. We're literally telling people, if you don't feel like living, yeah, you should probably. It's okay. We'll help you. Isn't that crazy? Like, I don't know about you, but this is mind blowing to me how the emptiness is not something that is able to be addressed. The only way to address it is to put on the new self. So when we embrace that we are a new creation, things change. We gotta keep doing it. You gotta keep putting it. Every day you wake up, you gotta put on your new clothes and your new self, right? You're not gonna walk out the door without your new clothes on, or any clothes on, right? You're gonna put the clothes on, better put the new self on too. You got it. Ephesians 2:10, I love this passage. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. What are you as a new creation? You are created to do good works, to be good, to do good. Isn't that feel powerful when you do good things? Isn't it lovely when you help, when you love, when you care, when you feel good because you were created to do good works? The new creation isn't just a creation. Oh, I'm a good thing, I just kind of sit there. You were created for a purpose, and that purpose is to be able to do good in this world in the name of Jesus Christ. Which God prepared in advance for us to do. He has a plan for you. He prepared you for this. Your good things that are going to come out of you, and they're going to come out of you. Do you believe that? I want to make sure everyone believes that. That's one of the things I want to... This is the hard part of the new creation. It's like, do you believe that you are going to do good things for Jesus on this earth that will make a difference? You were created in Christ. You are a new creation. You got to put on the new self daily. Be renewed by the transforming of your mind. And part of this for me, I realize, is you know what part of it is? I think the Christian church needs to really embrace this. Even as we speak truth, we also have to embrace the softening of the heart. Because one of the problems with embracing the truth, and we have to say that for truth. Like, I got to say it. We can't deny it. We can't... One of the problems is the church backing up and not speaking truth. But the problem with that is it can often harden hearts. And that's what happened with the Pharisees. They had some little bit of truth, and they became unloving, caring people. And so they're less in the truth than some other people because their hearts were hardened. Watch the hardening of your heart, my friend. That's part of the new creation. It's going to soften your heart to care for those people that you may disagree with strongly. Love them and care for them like he does because they are images of God. And they don't have the advantage you have in the Holy Spirit within you helping transform you into the image of God. So how do we do this? Well, a couple things. I just want to throw this out there for you. I really am realizing I'm trying to set new creation goals. Like, I'm asking the Lord, give me a couple things. Because there's so much. There's so much in me. I don't know about you, but there's so much in me that needs to be live in the new life. And I'm like, I think I'm a lot different than what I was, and I think I've grown, I really believe that, but there's so much more that still needs to be done. I don't know you. Imagine some of you have been in Christ even longer than I have, and you're saying, yeah, you still got things to work on, right? Is that fair enough? So what is God calling you to in you right now? And ask Him. I just asked the Holy Spirit, like, what are you calling me to? He's giving me a couple of things. I think last week I talked about the procrastination thing, and something he's saying I got to put on my goal list, and he's also put on my goal list, and this happens where I start to do well, and then I fall apart on it again, to take care of myself, my physical, because I want to be around for my kids. And now I have a really little one again, right? So I'm like, oh man, I got to try to take care of myself. So there's some goals that He's given me, and He's going to work with me. And whatever it is, that, you know, ask Him to give you the goals and then help you figure out how you're going to go about it. Maybe if there's an addiction there that's been hiding in the background for a while and the Lord is trying to put that on your heart. Ask Him for understanding. Show me what's at the root of this. A lot of times things that are at the root of this are hurts and pains and things that you need to work on with the Spirit, okay? These are things that He's going to have to work with you on. And the Holy Spirit can speak to you and help you work through this so your mind is no longer darkened to what is going on or hardened to His solutions. Then ask the Lord to give you courage to move forward, that you won't give up on it. Because I've tried on some of these things before, and then you give up. It's like, no, just keep going. You are a new creation. The old self is not running the ship any longer. There's a new Catholic town. And out of this, I was going to say, I really believe, and I love this point about being doing good works, is because I really believe that if we start to have our new self focus on caring for other people, things start to change in who you are. You care, you love yourself more when you love other people. You're able to see the good in you when you're caring for other people. And it starts to destroy some of these parts of the old self. So make sure you don't get self-focused. That's another problem with all this self-talk, right? You are a new creation, but you're not a new creation supposed to just focus on your new creation all the time. You're a new creation to do good for others. Can't be self-obsessed. This isn't just self-help, right? This is being transformed by the Spirit of God. The inner life will change as you change the inner lives of others. I really believe that. Selfishness starts to disappear. Charity removes disparity and repairs the insecurity. So you're like, people, I really believe that. The last thing I want to point on this is that you need to have confidence in God. He's the new creator. Right? Do you trust your identity to Jesus? That He knows who you really are. That you might have insecurities, you might have questions, you might have... No, I think we have to be really honest and recognize that these are real things that are going on in people's hearts. I don't think they're faking the stuff that's working on. But when we start to be secure in God's identity for us, then we start to be able to move forward, because we don't have to define ourselves. He's defining us. It's not about doing it your own strength, right? It's a new strength that's given to you through Christ. That you are in a new relationship with God. And if you are in a relationship, He will change you. So do you trust Him? Do you believe that He is doing these things in you? Yes, He can. He will. So this is, to me, one of the most important realities that Christians need to embrace, is this new identity of the new creation. Because if we live in the new creation life, that's what draws other people to God. You don't have to go looking and trying to figure out your 5-point little plan of how you're going to share the gospel and stuff. You're just going to be the gospel. If we can embrace and live in this new reality, then we're going to change everything.
Thank you for listening to the Groundswell podcast. For more info or to support Groundswell, check out www.thegroundswellchurch.com. Grace and peace.